ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Welcome to the Billy Hoyle Show with my man Sidney Dean as we check in on a Thursday afternoon, otherwise known as the Joel Blank Show with my man Trap J. So we're doing a little trap shooting at point-blank range. Nick Shirara behind the glass. Always welcome to have you guys in with us as we kick some ass. We have plenty to talk about today and plenty of you to talk to and a full list of topics to get to. One of the things that we started kicking around, thanks to my man Dr. Dre and others on Twitter yesterday, was the making or remaking of White Man Can't Jump. White Man Can't Jump 2 is heading our way. Blake Griffin, supposedly a part of that. Let's talk about it. Who plays what roles? Where do we think that certain people should be? We've already kicked around a few things on the Twittergram, as Bill Belichick would call it, in the Twitter sphere. But we want to hear from you, too. So we're going to kick that around as well, because Trav is a movie aficionado. So we were already talking about different people that should be in. I said Michael Rapaport has to be in there at some point, because that is like his vintage side role is always something to do with hoops. So we can talk about that as well. We got plenty to get to in the sporting world. The Rockets beat the Bucks last night. And watching that game, Trap, I said even more so what I said to you yesterday.
Yeah.
They are the Rockets of a year ago.
No question.
They attack the rim. They got all kinds of athletic guys and long wingspan defensive guys. But they just need shooters. And the kid from A&M that's coming back, Chris Middleton's going to help them. But if they could get a couple spot-up shooters on the wing, that team in a year could be night and day better and be a top four team in the Eastern Conference.
No question.
So we can talk about the Bucks and the Rockets. Harden had 38. We can talk about the fact that finally we can say the Astros have another member of the Hall of Fame class. Jeff Bagwell at 5 o'clock last night gets the word and the call. He is in. So he boarded a plane and headed over to New York City, where the announcements and interviews are going swimmingly. But Baggy in the Hall of Fame finally. And oh, by the way, Roger Clemens, 53% of the vote. Barry Bonds, right around that number. So whether you like it or not and have your own criteria, old school voters, they're coming.
They're coming.
And they ain't going anywhere.
They're picking up steam.
Yeah, they are.
And a guy who lost steam
yeah.
and is talking his way out of the Hall of Fame is Curt Schilling, and his old race is behind.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you know what that means? We talked about criteria. We all don't know what the criteria is, and we'd love to know and have everybody stick to it. We will know that the votes will be tabulated and be transparent, so we'll know who voted for whom. But because we have a guest today that fits right down the same lines as Curt Schilling, George Karl's going to be on with us at 2:45. And you talk about a guy that may have done exactly what you're talking about with Curt Schilling and completely fudged his ability to get into the Hall of Fame. I think he's top 10, maybe 7th all-time winningest coach in NBA history. Really, you know, highly regarded for a long period of time. And he writes this book. He bashes all of his ex-players.
You might well call him Superhead.
It's pretty disturbing, and you just got to wonder what his motives are. So we'll ask him. We're going to have him on at around in the 2:30 to 3 o'clock hour. So we'll have plenty of questions for George Karl. And you guys can fire away as well and see if we can't work those in. But we've got plenty to get to. Nick was at the Rockets game last night doing some due diligence.
I was.
Yep.
And it's a good game.
Yeah, you know what? It was just painful to watch Milwaukee shoot from the outside. You know, they had the Rockets had no answer for Adetokounmpo.
But they didn't until the second half. The second half, they did a real good job containing him. And they struggled again with the 3-point shot in the first quarter. But yeah, I mean, I think they were able to bounce back. They did good with points in the paint. I felt like they did really well on defense. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good win for the Rockets.
That's one they should have, and they did. Again, it worries me because they had a very good lead, and it got down to about 6 in the fourth quarter before they stepped on them again. My main concern is just don't flirt with disaster, because the Memphis game should be the exact reason why you don't do that, because it can catch you in the butt. So we can get to that as well.
Raiders going to Vegas.
Raiders are going to Vegas. That should be a hot ticket, because you know that the high rollers aren't going to care about the black hole and silver and black. They're just going to be at the games. So I don't think they're ever going to have any problem selling out suites, tickets, etc. It's just that you might not get the fan base you had in Oakland in the black hole.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get it. But I'll tell you right now, at least at home, you'll probably, 9 times 10, you'll be undefeated at home. Because all the teams that come into town are going to get annihilated. Because all the guys are like, man, I need to hit Vegas. I need to hit Vegas. I need to hit the strip. I need to do this. I need to hit the pool parties. I need... Especially for those teams, those East Coast teams, they travel on like Fridays.
Come in a day early.
Yeah, come in a day early and really with not too much of a real curfew to be able to get a day party in or something like that. Oh, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Well, and think about this, because you and I talked about this. It's the same reason why the Rockets have lost 6 of 7 in Miami. There is no off night in South Beach or L.A.
No.
Monday nights are as hot as Saturday nights.
Yeah, and there's no off night in Vegas.
Right.
Sin City never. That's the city that doesn't sleep.
Well, you should write a song. So that's definitely something we can talk about too. We've got a full plate, and the only way that we can sit down and eat is if you guys join us. So pull up a chair at the table and let us know what you want to talk about. We're available at 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. You can text to that number. You can call us. We'll get you on the show. And of course, we are available on Twitter. I am at Pac-Man Joel with a K. He is the man who made 99 famous in Texas before there was a JJ. There was a Trap J. That's why he's at Trap J99. And of course, my man, No Hit Nick behind the glass. So we're going to be here till 4 o'clock, and we're going to be kicking it around, and hopefully we'll get some topics in for you and also some calls, texts, and tweets. Get us early, because we're probably going to have a lot of things rolling here today, especially when we said that the White Man Can't Jump 2 will be coming out, suggestions on that, and lots of other good stuff. So please make this a part of your daily staple as you're driving around town. We'd love to be a part of your routine. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and Nick Sharara from 1 to 4 o'clock every single day right here on ESPN 97.5. And, you know, a lot of people who had a lot of talk and rumors flying around yesterday, Travis, because of the fact that it was announced Blake Griffin is supposedly a part of a group that's going to remake White Men Can't Jump and make it White Men Can't Jump 2.
Yeah.
It started a lot of conversation around town and around the airwaves.
Of course.
Some people talk about it. Other people take action.
And we take action.
That's exactly right. We're not all talk. We're all action. Therefore, you guys can talk to your heart's content if you're on another station. But if you're on our station, we can bring you the king. Because like nobody else, nowhere else, we now introduce you to Eddie the King Farrew, otherwise known as Lewis Price from White Man Can't Jump, the original. Sir, thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure. And what are your thoughts, by the way, before you get into all this conversation with Travis, about a remake of a classic?
Man, I think it's great, man. And I think it's great because it was a wonderful opportunity for me. And I didn't, as we were doing the movie, we never thought it would be so impactful and long-lasting as far as in the movie business and what effect it had on a lot of people. And a lot of people are still loving that movie today. So apparently, because they wanted to do a redo. So that's a great thing. And especially the people who created Ron Shelton, a wonderful, wonderful guy, man, and great director and a great writer. So it's an honor. It was an honor, and it's a great, what do you call it, anticipatory feeling about them doing the show, doing the movie again.
So, Pops, man, listeners, you know, I call him Pops, man. I grew up, this guy's, man, like, been a mentor, been a great man in my life for my entire life. So I'm going to speak to him as, like, we in the living room like we all are right now. But, Pops, you know, back in the day, man, doing that movie with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, you know, did you see, I mean, at the time, they were both pretty big stars, you know what I mean? Like, did you, and you've done a lot of things. I mean, from being a Temptation to being a Drifter to being on stage with Beyonce and John Legend. Like, how was that in your lifetime to speak about how great that was at the time to have two young actors like them and be on set in such an iconic role?
Well, the thing about Woody and Wesley, it was really cool because they just did a couple of movies that had just launched them, and so now they were probably the hottest two young cats coming about, and so it was a great experience because when I got with them, they were so welcoming. You know, both of them, they just received me, and in fact, me and Woody and Wesley, we're still friends today. So it was a great experience because it was a theme that I was so interested in, and I was able to do so many things. I was able to play basketball, which I was, you know, a basketball player coming up in college as well as just loving basketball. And semi-pro, and also it was a opportunity for me to sing, because a lot of people don't know that I sang a lot of the songs, the Gloria and the Chase, and did a whole, you know, bunch of music on the movie as well. So I not only just had a great time doing all the things that I love doing, singing, acting, eating, and playing basketball, but I met some people who we're still friends to this day.
I was going to say, they talk about the legendary basketball games around Space Jam with Michael Jordan, but you guys had to have some good pickup ball going anyway. You had Marcus Johnson, an ex-NBA legend, Freeman Williams in there. I mean, you guys had some guys like Woody always claimed he could play, but there had to be some pretty good pickup ball going on off screen, right?
Hey, the great thing about that movie was, one of the great things, let me just say this, is that, first of all, it was held like a basketball camp. And so what Ron did, he had everybody come, and we worked out, and we played games, and we had a camp. We had a basketball camp that before the movie even started, we all got together, came there, ate breakfast, ate lunch, played basketball, competition with each other, and it was serious. I mean, Freeman, he was serious. Marcus, I mean, all the cats, you know, the guys, they're going to all try to be, you know, show who's the best.
Right.
And it was great competition all the time. Me and Freeman had to play everybody because they put us together, and Freeman would say, "Lou, just give me the ball, Lou, just give me the ball, Lou. They can't hang, and he was truthful, because they could nobody stop that brother from scoring, you know. And same with Marcus and all the other guys. I mean, it was a great cast, great experience. It was ran like a basketball camp, and so that's why even when the movie was done, it looked real, because we had gone through a whole bunch of interaction with as far as playing basketball and preparing for it.
And you said you played, but people don't realize Freeman Williams was the number one pick of the Boston Celtics, the eighth pick in the first round in 1978.
That boy, he was, when we did the movie, he was still good, man. And I was definitely, I could hold my own.
Yep.
But, you know, I hate to say it, you know, because the truth sometimes, you know, it's amazing. But I was kind of good too.
Oh no, you! I know you was good, Pops. My thing. Where did they come up with the name the King and the Duck? Like, where did they just say it's something so iconic that when you, I mean, for I know for my era and my generation, you know, we look at that movie like it's one of the greatest movies of all time. And you know, the King and the Duck, that to us they was like park legends. Like, they never existed in real life, but they were park legends.
Yeah, it was like Rucker Park on the movie screen. It was amazing.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I'm going to give you some insight here. First of all, King the Duck, that was Ron Shelton's baby, man. As far as I know, Ron wrote the script, and he came up with this stuff. And Ron was so in touch, man. We used to play basketball at the Hollywood Y all the time. And Ron would just be there battling and playing and with all the guys. I mean, and we had a lot of the celebrities who would come up to the Hollywood Y. And so I used to play there all the time, and I would do my thing and do my thing. And Ron took an eye to me, I guess. And so one day, after traveling, I came back, and Ron, he said, Lou, I remember where you been, man. I've been looking for you. And I said, what are you talking about? And I didn't even know Ron was a director or writer or anything. And he said, man, come to my office. I got a part for you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, just come over to the place. So I said, what is this cat talking about? So anyway, I go to the place, and Ron said, Lou, you know, I want you to be the king. I want you to be the king. I said, king? Okay. He said, yeah, basketball legend. He gave me a rundown. He said, da, 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 da. He said, but I want you to do some more things, too. So not only did Ron come up with this concept, but he gave me an opportunity to do so many things in the movie, because he knew of me through just, you know, vicariously and interacting, playing basketball every now and then, twice a week at the Y. So he was just a great, great guy, a creative guy, smart guy, and down to earth, because he wrote the script as far as I know, you know?
Yeah. And if you had anybody right now, like basketball players, actors, to play y'all position now. I mean, I know you still got it, Pops. I know you can still do it, whatever you know, on the court like you used to back in the day when you was coaching Sierra and Tracy. But like, if you had two people to pick to play those roles right now as the King and the Duck, who do you have anybody in mind?
Well. See, I'm not so familiar with all these young guys that are actors now, especially the ones who can play basketball. I guess if you look at the if you look at the celebrity games that are before the All-Star games and all right. that stuff, you could pick some people out of there. But I don't know, man. It's Frank Glover. You know, it's got to be a combination of popularity as well as athletic ability and believable. You know,
you think Iverson?
I don't really know.
You think
to
AI?
Be honest, I look at a couple of the stars. Kevin Hart, he's a little too tall to play the part. You know what
you think? You think Allen Iverson could play Freeman's
very
part?
Talented, and you know what's his name would probably be ideal. God, they call him my son, Fox.
Oh, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
You know, because he's hot. You know, he can play a little ball. I heard he loves basketball, so he would work somewhere in that movie. He would work. You know, it's an amazing thing to be involved in because at that time I was singing. My album was coming out. I was singing. I was on a tour with the at a play, traveling all around the world, and then this movie comes out.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lou, you're getting ready to be a star because all these things were happening at the same time, right, Travis? But hey, man, the movie is a launching pad. It's a great movie. I'm so glad that they are going to redo it. And Blake Griffin, he's involved with it. I just hope that he continues to be healthy and prepared to lead the Clippers to a championship.
Ooh, that's not going to go over so well
here. That's not going to go over
so well. So what do you think about Iverson playing Freeman's role?
Oh, wow, that's not bad.
Now, we don't know if he can act or not, but you know he's not going to bow down to anybody in terms of playing hoops.
That's right. That's right. That's not a bad idea. And you know what? That might be a good thing, a good way to go about it, too. Look at some of the basketball players who are really interested in acting and have done some acting parts. So you can really probably think of a whole bunch of guys in that
I'd like to see Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I do.
Jesus Shuttlesworth, Ray Allen making a little crossover on over to White Man Can't Jump too.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, yeah, Pop. Ray Allen. That's right. But you know what? They might go with somebody a little more younger. Cause Ray did some basketball movies in that time, so they probably want to just come up with some fresh, clean stuff. You know what I mean?
Hey, Pop. So what you got going on now, man? I know you singing and traveling and doing plays and everything. What's going on in your life right now?
Well, basically, that's what's happening. My wife and I, Faye, Travis. You know, she's working with me, and we have a production company. We're doing the African American shows at the different colleges. We do a big Christmas time concert every year. We're trying to do more of the traveling now that we put this production together, and I got a very beautiful, intelligent, talented wife, and she's so helpful. So trying to finish my CD, and well, I can't say CD anymore because it's not about CD. That makes me old. But being creative, I got two DVDs out. So doing a lot of stuff, man, and just trying to really get out there and be a little more involved with the social media because that's pretty much where everything is being driven from. You know what I mean?
Okay. Pops, man, we love you, man. I appreciate you coming on, man, and hanging out with us at over at ESPN 97.5, man. And love you, man. Thank you for taking your time and talking to us.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. All right, Travis, love you, baby. And Nick, thanks, baby, hanging there. Okay, you guys?
All right,
thanks.
Take care.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. That's right, Lewis baby. Price, otherwise known as Eddie the King Farrew from White Men Can't Jump. Those are interviews you just can't find anywhere else. That's pretty solid right there. It's a good get, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we got much more show for you right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis, Joel, and Nick till 4. That was an all-world pull by my man Travis. And I don't think you people realize my man's resume, Lewis Price. So let me just drop this on you again so that you can be fully aware of it. Aside from the fact that he was the king in White Man Can't Jump, when I say that he was in The Temptations and The Drifters, even if you're a millennial, look it up. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, no, man. Great dude, man. Great dude, great family, man. He sang me my wife's wedding. Like, it was...
That's pretty awesome, too.
It was... My wife was listening in. She's like, tell Pops and Faye I said hey and tell them love them. And, you know, it's just a family, man. That's it, man. Family.
That's really cool. So that was good stuff. So we had thrown it out there. I threw some suggestions out there. Freeman Williams, like I said, people didn't realize, you know, everybody just knew him as the Duck.
As the Duck.
That's a first-round pick in the NBA and the eighth pick of the Celtics.
Eighth pick, no question.
And he could fill it up. He went to Portland State, and I worked in Portland for quite a while, and people knew who Freeman Williams was. And Marcus Johnson, because Marcus Johnson played for the Bucks in Milwaukee.
Exactly.
And he went to UCLA.
And you remember Marcus Johnson was like, I'm finna go back to my car, get my other gun, and I'm killing all you.
That's right. And everybody took off. Everybody Marcus Johnson, off. Man, he was either the number one overall. I think he went number 3 in the first round out of UCLA to Milwaukee.
Yeah, man, that was a great man. It was a great cast, man.
No question.
You had a young Dwayne Wayne. What's Dwayne?
Kadeem
Wayne?
Hardison.
Kadeem Hardison. We gonna win, Sizzler.
Yeah.
With man, Rosie Perez. Man, you got.
What's the word that Rosie you said yesterday?
Vesuvius.
Vesuvius.
She said, "Fool with the letter Q, Quaint, Quiche, Quash." Hey,
I gotta win on Jeopardy. Gotta win on Jeopardy.
But you know, it was so crazy because I'm just like, man, I really want to hope. I'm hoping like I'll go back and every time I watch that movie, and I'm smiling. And listeners, I wish y'all could see me smile because it's a movie that it's a great movie.
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We go in Sizzler.
That's awesome.
But it was a movie that. That you think about, it was just, I wondered if after they played the King and the Duck, yes, she was gone, but was he able to find her again, get back together? Because
that's part of the storyline, I'm sure.
What I'm saying, and tell her, like, I'm the one got you on Jeopardy. Like, I had to make a half-court shot out of nowhere in the back alley for the security guy that used to be on the Cosby's and was on New Jack City. Hit a shot for you to get in. Oh, it's man, crazy. And
Billy. Everything was Billy.
Billy, I'm thirsty, Billy.
Oh, my gosh.
Billy, just because I'm thirsty, Billy, don't mean I want water, Billy. I'm thirsty, Billy.
Great movie. No question about it. So that announcement coming out yesterday, so hopefully they do that thing right, because I always said to Michael Rapaport, dude's always between the NBA All-Star Weekend Celebrity Games and the fact that he's always talking hoop, he's got to be in that movie. He reminds me of Scalabrine, Brian Scalabrine. That played for the Celtics and other. He's doing broadcast. He was doing broadcast for the Celtics. I don't know if he still is, but those are the kind of guys that need to be in that kind of movie because they have humor in their background, but they can play. I really think AI could pull that off.
AI could. I think he could. He just got to have some work. Get on them acting chops, man.
Right. And you can throw Eva Mendez in there for me, and I don't care.
If you either Eva Mendez or she's a little older, but Sofia Vergara.
Oh, yeah. Either one of those could play Gloria. Yeah, so that'd be crazy. Yeah. White Man Can't Jump, Nick, you seen it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Classic.
Okay. All right, I want to make sure.
Yeah, Sofia Vergara is one that was not thrown out there on Twitter yesterday. When
for
we're going
Gloria,
back and forth.
We had Eva Mendez, Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria, but Eva Longoria worked.
She's a little long in the tooth,
but
too.
All of those girls that we just named, Eva Mendez, she's young, but she's still long in the tooth. Like, we got to get a young cast of... Who's the top Hispanic girl out there? I mean, Selena Gomez, but she's not really. She got to be fine. Like, Selena Gomez.
What about
ain't
old
fine.
Girl from Fast and the Furious? Although
she's getting
movies.
A little old in the tooth, too, though.
Okay. Nick, you're always good at that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good.
Well, that's why we threw it out there. You guys are part of the show. Start filling it up. Give us some suggestions.
Give us character suggestions of who could be Gloria, who could be Billy, if, because I'm guessing because of his light skin that he's going to be Billy Ho. You know what I mean? And not be, he can't
Who
be
is?
Sitting.
Michael Rapaport?
No, not Michael Rapaport, but
I don't know.
Blake Griffin.
Oh, I don't know.
He can't be Sidney
I don't
D.
know if he can have that big of a role.
He can't be Sidney Dean. Why not? Why couldn't he have that big of a role?
I don't know. I mean, he's an athlete. Is he an actor? You know, Ray was phenomenal.
But and at the time, we had no material on Ray.
True.
Spike Lee
did that.
Exactly. When they did He Got Game, Ray was phenomenal.
I got a great story for you on that several times. But when the All-Star Game was here and we were walking down Travis going to a party, and Ray, you know, always gets people yelling. No matter where we go, Vegas Jesus. And otherwise, they're all yelling, you know, Jesus, Jesus. And he goes, yeah, hey, what's up, what's up, what's up? Some guy stopped, pulled over the car, rolled down his window, and said, hey, Jesus. And Ray was like, yeah, what? And he goes, I got game two, mother. And we all just broke down laughing. I said, hey, man, you know, everybody's doing signing sessions this weekend. You probably head down to the church on Sunday and just sign Bibles with Jesus. And he's like, oh, you got jokes now.
Man, when I tell you that you remember with NBA when they put the names on the back, the nicknames on the back of the jersey a couple years ago?
Yep. For the alternate jersey.
Yeah, for the alternate jersey. I was mad they put Shuttlesworth and not Jesus on the back of that thing.
Well, hey, how about this? You ready for this one?
Yeah.
He's told me they've knocked around He Got Game 2. Now that.
I wonder if my wife would let me start He Denzel, Got Game 2.
Denzel comes back. Ray comes back. Dude, there's a cast right there,
I wonder
if
my wife would let me do that and see if I could. I just want to do the recruiting trips again. That's it. When you walk in there and it's two Tiger Woods-esque women that are butt nakeds, you know what I mean? Like,
all righty.
That like it reminds me of when I took my visits. Like, why wouldn't I want to do that?
Nick, you want to just tag along?
On what? I'm sorry. I'm sitting here writing a description.
Oh, I thought you wanted to tag along on Travis's promoted his visits for recruiting people like back when he played.
When I played those, they were like the movie,
the program. Wasn't the program based on Florida State?
It was based on Florida State. Yeah, yeah. A quick trivia question for people who didn't know. Do you know a stadium they filmed that in?
Was it Doak Walker?
No, it was South Carolina Stadium. They filmed it in South Carolina.
Really?
Stadium. Yeah.
So, and I'll give you the exact same, because all my college teammates, Major League, the original Major League movie.
Yeah.
Based on the Cleveland Indians. You know where it was filmed?
Where?
Milwaukee County Stadium.
Was it?
Yep. Half my college teammates are in that movie. I had to go to summer school to graduate early.
Oh, that sucks.
I got screwed big time. Yeah, because they...
And this is the original?
The original Major League. We sent in our headshots. They contacted us back, said, yeah, we'd like... You know, then you had to send them, like, pictures in uniform and everything like that. Like, the third baseman for the Yankees was our third baseman. The shortstop for the Indians was our shortstop in college. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of my college teammates were in that movie.
Because that's one of the great parts about that movie is how... authentic it was, even for its time. It was, you know, now they try to do a little CGI, they throw in plays that happened in the 76 World Series or, right, you know what I mean, stuff like, but not, like that movie was so authentic, like, you're like, man, they really
like making
these plays.
The crazy thing, too, was the way they had to position cameras, so they would only have people that wanted to be extras fill up, like, two sections of the entire stadium,
yeah,
but they'd make it look like, and then superimpose the rest, like it was a full house baseball crowd. Some of it they did after games, too. They asked people to stay later,
yeah,
but it was all filmed in Milwaukee.
That's awesome.
Yeah, matter of fact, like one of the girls that I went to high school with, that whose dad was a doctor, the house that Roger Dare, the third baseman, Roger Doyen, their house was used for Roger Dorn's house.
It must have been a nice house.
Oh, it's a big, it's a bad, it's amazing. Yeah, high school parties there. Look out. So yeah, we're talking movies, we're talking sports. We got
come on, guys, call it. I know how
so
many
we already
people
got
some,
Anthony. One, no, Anthony chimed on something else. Richard says Penelope Cruz or Selma Hayek for Rosie Perez's character, but I mean they're not. They're kind of long in the tooth.
Like, guys, call in. Let's talk about it. Let's break it down. Because I think this is a great topic to talk about. I mean, if you've seen White Man Can't Jump, that's like saying if they did
Who is Wesley Snipes in the new one? Who would it be?
That's a great
question. Because you got to get someone that's a known actor.
It's a known
that
actor
has a little athleticism.
That has a little athletic. Like Pop said it.
Jamie Foxx could do it because he's played Ali.
Jamie Foxx could be the... I think because he's a...
No, Will Smith played Ali.
Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles.
But he also had another one where he was training to be... There was a boxing movie, I believe, that he...
He's supposed to be Mike Tyson. He did Mike Tyson
what it was. He was supposed to be Mike Tyson.
But, you know, the thing is, he's actually... When you play, like... Because I played it at... I played in the Drew League a little bit back at home. And he could actually play some ball.
See, that's the thing, too. You got to get guys that can't fake it. Because that's one of those things where you can't fake it because you can see right through it.
No question.
And say, man, he's got no game. He can't play.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that.
And you don't need it.
Oh, you know, it just popped up. Michael B. Jordan. Do you think he could do Wesley Snipes?
He
might not be dark. I mean, I want him to be a black brother, like just dark.
You're going dark as night.
Yeah, I want to be Wesley Snipes black. Like, he got to be. You know, otherwise it can't be. You know
how about
what I mean?
Christina Milian?
Christina Milian.
Hey, now we're getting on the Richard. Now we're getting on the right path.
That might work, but you all know right. what? The question is, how good an actress is she really? Yeah, because we don't want to be.
Let me ask you a question, Trap. In certain circumstances, does it matter?
Doesn't really matter, no.
No. All right, that's like, all I got to say.
I'm thirsty, Billy.
That's all I got to say about that. All right, so we got plenty of topics to kick around, but we really want to get to this Jeff Bagwell Hall of Fame thing. We want to talk about the Rockets last night. Andrew Luck had surgery, and it was on his shoulder, throwing shoulder. Are you worried? Concerned? Happy? We'll kick it all around next.
My wife told me I can't do the recruiting visits.
Then you don't want to know what my wife said, because if your wife said no, then there's a hell no and more coming my way. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick, up until 4 o'clock, as you guys are starting to do what we always expect you to do, and that is chime in and bring it, which you are doing, and we appreciate that. Boy, I'll tell you what, Dr. Dre, as he always does, he brings it strong. The girl's name is Genesis Rodriguez. She can play whatever role she wants, in my mind. I'm just going to let you know right now.
Oh, she's pretty.
Oh, boy. No question. Brandon
she's
says...
She's a little too slim for me, though.
Here we go. Brandon says, do you think Kevin Bacon can ball? Just thinking about the movie The Air Up There.
No.
He's so that's about, one of those...
Shake and Bake Jimmy Dolan.
See, that's one of those things where you just can't hide it. If you can't ball, you can't ball. Like, man. Baseball, like, if you go back and look at that movie, and there's some people in that movie that didn't play college baseball, they were, the actors, when you look at their swings, and like, Charlie Sheen was a baseball aficionado, so he knew how to pitch.
Yeah.
He had some tryouts, but boy, some of those people tried to fake it, and it was bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I think that's the greatest part about The Air Up There was the fact that they had to put the knee brace on him, so he just didn't, because they wanted to make it look like, we got to have a reason for this guy not to be able to play basketball on the air, like, for real. But that old shake and bake Jimmy Dolan, a matter of fact, remember the brother to the African, the one that was driving the car?
I don't remember movies like you do.
But he actually went to my high school. Me and him actually the same Hall of Fame class. He actually was drafted. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he went to my high school.
Wait, shocking. You can't remember a name, but you bring it up on the air? Right, that's what I blame it on, too. Okay, hey, so we've got a lot to talk about, including White Men Can't Jump. Matt wants to get in right away, and he wants to talk about movie actresses. Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, boss? For Wesley Snipes, bro, I like Omar Epps. He can play some ball.
It's not a bad call.
And for Gloria's, bro, I like Salma Hayek, because her attitude will match Gloria's.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that, Matt. Thanks for chiming in, man. Salma Hayek again. Maybe a little long in the tooth. And you think she could pull it off? It's a little...
I think she could pull it off, but I think you got to have the...
There's a little bit of urban panache
yes.
that I would question with her, if I say it that way. But that's just me. So, you guys can continue to chime in. Monday at Minute Maid Park, Union Station, the Astros will have a rally for... Jeff Bagwell, doors open at 3, Baggy to speak at 6, photo ops, all available. Your thoughts on Jeff finally getting in last night?
Oh, man, I was excited for him. I think, you know, I think the biggest thing is it's the turn for the enhanced era. You know what I mean? Everybody says, oh, Bagwell was on the juice, he's on the juice, he's on the juice. But once again, he's another guy that never popped positive for the juice. You know what I mean? And I like the fact that his play spoke for itself. Mm-hmm. The way they felt about him in this community spoke for itself. Mm-hmm. And being that, well, I think he's the second Astro to ever get in. Him and Craig. So I think it's very fitting. It's phenomenal. I think when you talk about this class, only thing I hate is that the Major League Baseball, they can do classes with one guy in it. I hate mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
You know, or you can do it's too many guys that play this game that deserve to get in. You know, when you look at a class and say we're only gonna have three guys, who wants to go to a Hall of Fame?
Oh, now think of the Texas contingent with Pudge with
Pudge. No, no question. It's gonna be a lot of Texas folks want to go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's gonna be a lot of Texas folks want to go.
Well, but since it's his own country, Texas is gonna have representation that could fill up the entire
viewing area.
Exactly. So, I mean, but I think it's a great class. When you look at Tim Raines, who's a guy who, you know, when he played, he was a, you know, he was a 294 guy, almost a 300 guy.
I thought he was a 300 guy.
Yeah, he was almost a 300 guy. I mean, he had
unreal base deal.
He had 2,600 base hits. He had 800 stolen bases.
Yeah.
I mean, he got almost 1,000 RBIs. This guy played a productive career. I'll tell you, he came in 79 and left out in 02.
Well, and that magic number of 3,000 is kind of like 300 wins in baseball pitching.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of a thing of the past. Because of the way they nurture these players today, because they bring them along later, because of all the different things that delay the process, it's really, really, really tough to get to those magic marks that used
especially because
keys to getting inducted.
Because at the end of his time, you got to think about it, towards the end of his time, it became a pitching man's. Most of his career was a pitching league. You know, where it was big, the pitchers were big in the league. You got to think about Nolan Ryans and the guys that he played against while he played. But this guy was a 7-time All-Star, 3-time World Series champ.
That's big.
4-time stolen base champ.
Yeah, and Pudge is just Pudge. Pudge to me was the absolutely the most prolific catcher, just in terms of the vintage. When they made the mold of what a catcher should be, Pudge was everything. Because defensively, remember, everybody wanted, when I played, every catcher wanted to catch like Pudge.
Yeah.
They wanted to, you know, throw from their knees. They wanted to, like him and Tony Eusebio used to catch doing the splits. You know, they just did it their way.
I think him and Johnny Bench the only two that were all they did was play catcher just in the
Quite possibly. And, you know, and my thing on Baggy, because I just wanted to give my opinion on that, but the one thing about Baggy that I think people forget about was I just like the way he did it his way. People don't realize he wasn't a big public guy. He didn't let PR people try and dictate what he did, when he did it, and how he did it. He used to work out in our gym in the off season, and he'd be personable with everybody. But when the cameras came on, it just wasn't his thing. He wasn't a big camera guy. But if he wanted to go out and have some drinks, he was going to go out and have some drinks. If he wanted to do some things with some people, he was going to go do some things with the people. And if you didn't like it, well, you know what? That's not your decision to make. It's what he wanted to do. And I think just like you saw the press conference yesterday, he really didn't want to talk. So they ended up putting a podium up at the airport because he was on his way to New York for the press conference. And he just basically said, I'm just going to be honest with you. It hasn't even sunk in yet for me to have the emotions. Because he was basically saying, I know how you guys want me to react, but I'm still processing all of this to try and digest it so that I can kick it back out, you know, and let people know. But the one thing that he was very clear about was his dedication to the organization and the city. And I think it's phenomenal that those two guys that are the icons of that franchise and always will be, they both get in. And you know what? People forget he was a hell of a defensive player.
He was a hell of a defensive player. When you think about the Astros, you think about, I mean, yeah, of course everybody wants to bring up Nolan Ryan, but let's be honest, this is such a young franchise.
Yep.
Such a young franchise. You think about some of the guys they're not recently, but not too far off retired. You think about Bagwell. You think about Biggio. You think about those guys.
You know, Jeff Kent was on the ballot. He only got about 14%.
Yeah.
And he played a little bit with Houston. But, you know, the guys that are interesting to me are the Lance Berkmans. You know, when you talk about the Killer Bees, and Berkman won some, he won his World Series, and he, you know, he had a really, really good career, but was it good enough? I don't know. But those are the two guys that there's never been, Nolan played for the Mets and the Angels and the Rangers and the Astros. And you always wonder, what jersey are those kind of players going to wear when they go in? There was never a doubt with Craig and with Jeff.
And what I think, when they play for those, that many organizations, don't they just put them into Major League Baseball?
So they allow them to make the choice.
Yeah.
Each player gets to make the choice for themselves. Okay. Yeah. Because they always ask, what hat are you going to wear when you go in?
Because I know, who was it last? Was it Maddux that went in last? Which one of the Braves?
Glavin might have went in. Glavin or Maddux went in last.
Well, one of them put the
Smoltz went in last year with Baggy.
Yeah, so Smoltz was the one.
With Biggio.
His is just a Major League Baseball cap.
I don't think so. He's got to be a Brave.
I think because he had the same. If you look at his career, he had the same amount of time in both places.
Smoltz played most of his career with the Braves.
Well, that means it was glad.
We'll look it up. We'll look it up. All right, we'll check that. Jesse, you want to get in here real quick? Kevin McHale, Nick, looks like he wants to join us at top of the hour. So we'll have Kevin McHale at the top of the hour. Switch gears and talk some basketball. But right now, Jesse wants to talk about the Hall of Fame. Jesse, what's up?
Yeah, I heard you say that Bagwell and Biggio was the only Astros to go in the Hall of Fame. But how could you not count Nolan Ryan as an Astro?
Well, we just said that. We just said because Nolan Ryan broke in with the Mets, played a good portion of his career with the Angels, played a good portion of his career with the Rangers, and played for the Astros. But when you look at it, Jesse, you have to go with what the man chose as the uniform that he chose to wear when he went into the Hall of Fame, and it wasn't the Astros. So therefore, yes, he was an Astro, but he's not representing the team on his bust in the Hall of Fame. So that's where we draw the line. That's why everybody said last year Craig was the first Astro to be in the Hall of Fame, and now Jeff is number two. So if you want to chime in on that, 713-780-ESPN, as Craig and Baggy are both going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's fantastic. We can also talk about basketball, because coming up next, your one-time head coach of the Houston Rockets, the Hall of Famer number 32 from the Boston Celtics, for his weekly visit, Coach Kevin McHale joins us. And don't forget, George Karl coming up between 2:30 and 3 p.m. as well. As always, we are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.